In a black abyss, a dark mirrored globe floats amongst rotating stars. Hazy light streams from the stars, which are reflected on the globe. Large metallic letters encircle the strip-shaped indent around the globe's center.
A Universal Picture,
a Comcast company. Fade to black. Beyond a shattered wooden door, a toppled bucket lies on the dark, water-splattered ground. Scattered nearby are large dark feathers. Further across, splintered wood glows with embers. A poster declares a green witch as an enemy. A large circular window is reflected in a puddle of water. On the water's edge, a black, crooked witch's hat sits amidst the rising smoke and embers. Flying monkeys with huge blue feather wings bound through the room and smash through the window. They soar among the clouds, swooping past a floating black turret castle surrounded by rocky cliffs.
A cloaked figure on horseback gallops away from the castle, racing down a long bridge that leads into grassy cliffs.
The monkeys soar overhead, ascending higher, until they reach a cascade of waterfalls.
A young girl with a dog, a tin man, a scarecrow, and a lion.
A long yellow brick road stretches above the foaming waterfalls, leading towards a city on the horizon. A young girl, a tin man, a scarecrow, and a lion walk along the road. The road winds through rolling hills. Elsewhere, a young boy waves a handkerchief as he and other children run through a field of flowers. The pristine rows of flowers and the yellow road lead into a town called Munchkinland. The boy rings a bell and people spring out of their cottages.
Villagers take down warning posters.
The Munchkin people celebrate in the town centre as a bright light shines through the clouds. Wearing a large, delicate tiara and a pink ball gown, Glinda descends in a huge bubble that encases a regal throne. She pops the bubble with the icicles adorning her wand. Petite Glinda has glossy blonde hair and smooth, pale skin. A woman gapes. The crowd watches expectantly. They jump about and hug one another. Glinda takes a flower from a little girl and throws it high, as the Munchkins do the same. They dance around her. Glinda smiles as she admires the dancing Munchkins. She ascends a staircase adorned with flowers. Glinda's gaze flickers thoughtfully. A witch's portrait. Mrs. Thropp's smile vanishes. She spies a man through a door's hatch and drags him inside. Swigging the man's green elixir, she whips off his tie as he keeps his hat tilted forward. He follows her around playfully. Mrs. Thropp gives birth.
A nurse lifts the baby.
The green-skinned baby wriggles in the nurse's hands. Another nurse swigs a drink as Mrs. Thropp lowers her gaze. A third nurse drinks, while a large talking bear holds the baby.
Medical items and trinkets soar upwards and ram into the ceiling.
The Thropps look horrified, and wild rage fills Mr. Thropp's eyes. The bear rushes into another room, cradling the dark-haired Elphaba. She gently pats Elphaba with her paw. Elphaba smiles as she gazes up at the bear. Elphaba to her sister. Nessa Rose, who sits in a wheelchair, covers her ears and cries. Elphaba faces the teasing children and scowls. The children stand under a flower archway. Elphaba tenses her fingers, and small stones levitate before hurtling towards the children. Elphaba opens the book Dulcie Bear gave her. The Emerald City and Oz unfold from the pages. A gigantic effigy of the Wicked Witch rolls in. The people stamp their feet in unison. Glinda nears the effigy. Glinda sets the effigy alight and watches it burn. Glinda returns to her throne as the Munchkins twirl around the effigy. The poster of the Wicked Witch falls. Flames engulf the effigy, and Glinda sways her wand with a smile. Glinda pops her bubble. All eyes focus on Glinda, and her smile fades. Sequins on her layered dress glisten. The crowd eyes each other. Glinda smiles as she remembers touching hands with Elphaba. A flashback of Glinda watching Elphaba don her hat, which blocks her face, washes over her. Glinda shrugs. Colourful meadows merge into the depths of a river. Universal Pictures presents colourful fish with ribbon-like fins flit alongside a boat's hull as it glides down the river. Glinda sits aboard, skimming her manicured hand through the water. She smiles as she gazes ahead. Beyond spacious fields and white cliffs sits a fantastical building. Large white letters fill the screen. Wicked, Part 1. Glinda's elegant sailing boat, laden with luggage, glides through a huge archway. An engraving reads, Shiz University. Turrets and domed roofs make up the castle-like buildings nestled amongst hills. Glinda's boat, with ornate pink sails matching the Baroque pattern hull, glides through. She sits on her luggage and waves. Glinda's parents. A pale, short young man with curly red hair. Glinda's dimples crease as she smiles sweetly. A choir sings. Dressed entirely in black, including lace-up heel boots, Elphaba wanders through the crowd. Pulling faces, students retreat from her. She runs her green stiletto-shaped nails through her dark micro-braided hair, styled in a plait. Glinda, wearing all pink, has her back to Elphaba and fixates on the choir. She points her foot. Glinda turns around and jumps upon spotting Elphaba. Elphaba studies her hands. She raises a brow and her black-lined lips flicker into a smirk. Glinda eyes the students. She eyes Elphaba. Glinda arches her back, flicking her hair for the admiring crowd. Her pleated fascinator is adorned with a bow. Elphaba approaches her family. He holds a white case. Inside the red gem-lined case sits a pair of diamond-encrusted heels. He hurries off, and Elphaba approaches. She holds her hand. Nessa Rose smiles. Elphaba gazes off. Mr. Thropp approaches and holds the wheelchair's handles. They share a smile and Elphaba eyes her father. Nessa Rose wheels herself off and they watch as she meets with other students. Mr. Thropp winces. Elphaba frowns at her father. She follows Nessa Rose to a grand courtyard where hummingbirds peck at bells.
Scholars stand on a platform.
Dillamond, the goat, nods. The students burst into applause. Madame Morrible, a woman with silver hair and high cheekbones, passes down the central aisle. The draped material on her bronze cloak trails behind her. Bock is late to stand up and catches Nessa Rose's eye. She shrugs at him and smiles. Morrible greets the president and stands by a lectern as she faces the eager-eyed students. Her hair sweeps back in soft pinned curls. Scrolls roll down. Elphaba smiles gently. Morrible ambles, and Glinda approaches her. She walks off.
Coddle kisses Nessa Rose.
Books, keys, and trinkets soar alongside Nessa Rose, who levitates into the air. Panicking students scramble as benches slide and flip. One bench crashes into an engraved wall, knocking away a chunk. Elphaba magically returns Nessa Rose to the ground. Another wall chunk topples, revealing hidden artwork of animals in clothes. Pages flutter down, and all eyes turn to Elphaba and her sister. High above on a walkway, Morrible assesses the damage. With parted lips, Glinda fixates on Elphaba. She leaves. Students clap as Morrible approaches Elphaba. In the distance, Glinda taps her friend Shenshen. Elphaba, who wears round, thin-framed glasses, holds Morrible's gaze. Glinda skitters over to them. Morrible admires Elphaba with a small smile. Elphaba nods. Glinda eyes Elphaba. Glinda stops and blinks softly.
Glinda, in a tailored pink blazer over her shirt, turns to look at Elphaba.
Elphaba follows Morrible. and Glinda's gaze tracks them as they walk together. Glinda's friends run over. They carry her. Morrible considers Elphaba, and she smiles softly as they both glance down. Elphaba smiles. They share a smile. Elphaba watches Morrible go. She leans on one of many wooden pillars and grins. She crosses stepping stones. Elphaba dashes up a stone staircase with decorative tiles. Light bounces off a colourful glass mobile and glints across her face. She rounds a layered rocky wall and finds the face of the wizard carved into a rock face. She does a flying leap. She stands on a cliff.
Elphaba smiles as she turns away from the desert stretching out beyond the cliffs and heads back across the golden fields of wheat that lead to the school.
She wanders down a curving corridor with rounded arches and polished oak doors on either side. Glinda squints as she peers through her door's golden peephole. She opens the door with a smile. The regal room features a plush double bed and personalized pink cases neatly piled together. Elphaba eyes an array of pink outfits hanging on a rail. Elphaba nears Glinda and she retreats. She points to the balcony. Glinda leans back as her hair flutters. Glinda pats the doorway. She parts hangers. Elphaba peers through the gap in the frilly pink frocks, spying a single bed in the cramped space behind. A note on the mattress reads, "It's great." Elphaba tilts her head. Elphaba steps through. Elphaba pulls dusty sheets down from the windows. Glinda follows her. Elphaba moves some of Glinda's clothes. Elphaba closes Glinda's case, but Glinda stops her from moving it. Elphaba yanks the case. The balcony doors swing shut and a glass pane shatters. A wide-eyed Glinda looks to Elphaba. Elphaba glances down, then eyes the window and walks off. At night, Glinda and Elphaba write letters on their beds. Elphaba pauses, then crosses out her writing. Elphaba frowns. Glinda puts down her notepad. Elphaba tucks a green bottle under her pillow, and they get into bed. Glinda turns on a lamp. They run up to one another. Double doors swing open. Glinda and her admirers enter a canteen where Elphaba gets herself food. In a classroom, Glinda and Elphaba wrestle over a desk. A girl helps Glinda by scooching into the seat. In staff practice, Glinda and Elphaba duel. Students dance around them as Elphaba flicks a napkin and Glinda saws her knife against her plate. Glinda spots Elphaba chatting with Morrible. The two raise golden cups to one another. Elphaba enters their room and makes Glinda jump. They split off to their sides of the room. The main courtyard's walls have rows of Gothic arches with swell pattern railings. Students come down stone staircases and head into a classroom at the end of a corridor. Mr. Dillamond trots in wearing a coat. Glinda holds out her hands. images of animals show. Glinda raises her hand. Dillamond pulls a rope and a chalkboard revolves. The words, "Animals should be seen and not heard," are scrawled across it in huge red letters. Dillamond's thin lips part and his yellow, wide-set eyes look weary. The students look at one another as Dillamond faces them and paces to one side. Nessa Rose eyes Elphaba. He bears a woeful expression. He knocks a vase. Dillamond, with his grey beard and spectacles, bows his head as he eyes the broken vase. The students disperse, but Elphaba stays behind to help Dillamond pick up the flowers. Elphaba crouches in front of him. She continues. Elphaba pops the pink, red and white flowers into a watering can. She tilts her head before smiling at Dillamond. Dillamond's gaze shifts to the flowers. She picks up the broken vase. Elphaba looks at him and sits back on her heels. Dillamond lifts a hoof, which she takes in her hands. They share a sweet smile.
She wears a black striped pinafore dress and a pale turquoise shirt.
Now, Elphaba is alone with Morrible. She sits at a table.
Elphaba opens her eyes and fixates on a coin that rests on two stacked books. Her brow furrows as she concentrates.
Morrible lifts Elphaba's arm and guides her hand forward. Morrible glides her hand across Elphaba's outstretched fingers. Morrible drifts her hand away as Elphaba focuses on the coin. As she curls her fingers, a shadow of her hand falls on an open book. Her pointy nails stretch across the page. Elphaba slams her hand down, and Morrible cups Elphaba's arms. Looking disheartened, Elphaba eyes the coin as Morrible sits. Morrible's tailored dress has a tall asymmetrical collar. Elphaba nods softly as she meets Morrible's gaze. Glass chimes rattle above. Elphaba frowns. Morrible's lips part with a curious look. Trinkets around the room shudder. Elphaba slams her hands and the coin crashes into a glass cabinet. The coin levitates briefly. A staircase lined with pillars spirals up the courtyard walls. Elphaba pauses on the steps and watches Dillamond below. Elphaba hurries down. Dillamond passes through an entrance that leads onto a forest path. In Dillamond's medieval-style home, Elphaba hangs back in a gloomy entrance hall. Dillamond and animals talk by a fireplace in the living room beyond. A shadow puppet sequence. Elphaba has a vision. In the vision, Dillamond's in a cage. Elphaba stumbles back. Elphaba enters his lamplit living quarters and notices a wide open back door. The animals have fled.
A map on a scroll hangs from a beam.
Elphaba spots poppies. He pauses. Elphaba holds a lantern up to paper cutouts that hang from a pole. Their shadows are cast on a wall, revealing animals in chains. Elphaba crouches by him. Elphaba picks up his glasses and puts them on for him. Dillamond's eyes narrow with a smile. They turn their heads upon hearing something. They study one another with grave looks. Holding an amber lantern, Elphaba treks through the dark forest. Leafy plants cover the ground, and there's an abundance of tall trees. A dark-haired man on a horse accidentally knocks Elphaba down. He dismounts. Elphaba faces him. Fiero tilts his head and raises his brows. Elphaba eyes him sternly, and he flashes her a coy smile. She picks up her lantern, and Fiero glances at his horse. Alphabet eyes him and strides off. He rides on. Glinda picks an outfit. Pink blushes flick open and Glinda dabs one. She blinks as she squirts perfume, then she cracks her fingers and flicks her softly curled hair. Fiero's horse, Feldspar, takes neatly spaced steps as he follows Fiero through the courtyard. Students gather and gawp, and one girl gives Fiero a wink. Glinda's friend, Fanny, stands at a board Fiero approaches. Glinda spies on them. Glinda takes a guy's book and creeps over to the map Fiero's staring at. Glinda sidles up to Fiero and delicately places a hand on the board's wooden frame. She wears a pink dress with puffball sleeves. She tosses her hair. He faces Glinda, then smiles. Glinda rounds the board and pretends to read, then Fiero follows with a sweeping step and coy smile. She saunters aside. Glinda's gaze flickers down his body, then she sashays off. She looks back at Fiero with a sweet smile, and her hair flutters in the breeze. Fiero follows after her. In the library, a row of huge wheel-shaped bookcases frame a circular window. The wheels turn slowly as students perch on their fixed ladders. Dome archways curve down into stacked pillars, and tables are dotted around the room. Fiero and Glinda enter. Glinda flicks her hair as she holds his gaze and moves off. Fiero spots Alphaba at a table opposite. Fiero tilts his head and wiggles his fingers in a wave, but Alphaba rolls her eyes. Fiero nears Glinda. Bok falls over. Fiero helps Bok up. To Glinda. Bok stands on books. Glinda tilts her head. Bok slips off the books. Fiero takes a book from a student and others slip from her grip. Bok lowers to pick them up, but Fiero puts his foot on the books and places a hand on Bok's shoulder. Fiero opens his book. Fiero chucks the book away and does a handstand flip. Alphaba rolls her eyes. Smirking at the doting students, Fieri takes the librarian's hands and spins her. He kisses her head and lifts her. He pushes the librarian away on a trolley, then he jumps up on a table and kicks papers away. Nessa Rose sways and Elphaba scowls. Fieri pulls a lever and the wheel bookshelves spin. Students on the books run and a few jump onto the ladders and swing from their rungs. Fieri joins in. Fieri presses a finger to his lips, then he shrugs his shoulders to the beat, and the students copy. They dance through the room, and Fieri lifts Glinda in a twirl. Students jump and spin on the rotating ladders, Elphaba to Nessa Rose.
Bock pushes a lever, and the wheel bookshelves slow down.
Meanwhile, Fieri spins a girl before doing a body ripple with a guy. Bock speeds up the bookshelves, and a student jumps out. He spins Glinda away and she hurries after him. Bock dabs her cheek with a handkerchief. Glinda tucks his handkerchief in his vest. Bock smiles and approaches Nessa Rose. He turns back to wave at Glinda. As Nessa Rose lowers her book, Bock leans on a trolley beside her. Glinda smiles to herself, unaware Fieri's watching. Glinda hurries off with a giddy smile, and Fiero follows. Nessa Rose goes over to Elphaba. Later. A black pointy hat. The others pull a face. She eyes them in her mirror. Elphaba enters and they all stare. Elphaba rests her hands on some books. She holds the pointy hat. Glinda puts the hat into Elphaba's hands and glances back at Elphaba as she moves off. She wears a pink and yellow dress, and its softly frilled material wraps over in the middle like a flower. Fiero leads students through the quiet courtyard. They pile onto a boat. Elphaba knocks on Morrible's door. Morrible's hair is slicked forward across her head like a wave. Near the boat, Fiero tucks a rose in Glinda's hair. Bok and Nessa Rose rush over to the jetty. Glinda and Fiero smile and rush to help, and the group sails off. They hurry into Ozdust, a lively club housed in a magical cave with a frozen ceiling. The icy ceiling shows schools of fish flittering in the water above. Feathery chickens peck a double-keyed organ and various animals play in the band. A giraffe on the trumpet, a monkey on the bass, and a sugar glider on the drums. The group gathers around Fiero and Glinda. Fiero does a swooping bow before stamping his foot. Glinda returns a tap and a stamp. Then the group moves in unison as they do a collection of stomps. They shuffle their feet, then hit a number of flamenco-style poses. Glinda and Fiero face one another as they swish their arms and stamp their feet. Dancers move around one another as they repeat sliding and stomping footwork. Fieru turns into Glinda and their lips linger inches apart. Glinda rests her head on his chest as she giggles. Bok spots her as he sits with Nessa Rose. Glinda and Fieru kiss. In the middle of the dance floor, Bok holds Nessa Rose's hands. Then they swipe their arms down before joining hands again and doing a body ripple. Bok spins her in her chair. Then he faces her and they jut out their arms in various directions. Nessa Rose wears her mother's bejeweled shoes and outstretches her arms. Bok sweeps her arms down, then pulls her along. He kneels and she cups his face. Moribu enters the club and nears Glinda and Fieru. She gives her a plain silver and glass wand. Glinda looks subdued.
Elphaba, wearing the black pointed hat and a long-sleeved high-neck dress with frilly puff shoulders, cautiously peers around a dim corner. The dance floor lies ahead of her.
Glinda hurries off with her wand. Elphaba comes out from the shadows and pinches the edges of her round-brim hat. She walks slowly towards the dance floor, and people stop dancing as they look at her. Elphaba pauses at the top of some steps and takes in the prying eyes. People chuckle as she comes down, and Fanny and Shenshen smirk. Elphaba looks disheartened and continues walking. Keeping her chin lifted, she strides through the parting crowd. Her eyes are glazed and she looks woeful as her focus settles on Glinda, who stands directly opposite her. Elphaba stops in the middle of the room. With a guilt-stricken look and parted lips, Glinda holds Elphaba's gaze. She quickly tucks the new wand behind her dress's layered skirt. Bok stands beside a subdued Nessa Rose. Walking forward, Elphaba puts the hat on the ground. With a clenched jaw, Elphaba strides back to the middle of the room as the quirky and colourful crowd sniggers. Half of Elphaba's hair is tied in a bun, and the other half hangs down her back in waves. She turns to the room. Elphaba closes her eyes, then she sweeps each hand outwards and unfurls her fingers elegantly. Elphaba ripples her hands in waves, then strikes a pose. One hand rests on her hip, and she holds the other to the side of her forehead. She opens her eyes and wiggles her fingers. She softly kicks out her feet. Then she flops forward before whirling her arms. She strikes an arm out to one side. Elphaba keeps her arm extended and stamps her foot. She flicks around to her left and whips up her hand so that it's opposite her face. She claws her shoulder and shakes it as she hurries backwards. The crowd retreats. Elphaba grips both shoulders and runs forward. Fiero comes to Glinda's side as Elphaba twirls, then slaps her palms together. With extended arms, Elphaba rubs her palms together and leans back. Now, she crouches and grabs her hat. She slowly lifts the hat to her head and lowers it down as she holds the brim. Fiero speaks to Glinda. The hat casts a shadow across Elphaba's eyes as the crowd teases and goads. Nessa Rose glances at Bok. Glinda stares. Elphaba takes a few steps back. Her dress is cinched at the waist and has a black, sheer, ruffled top. Glinda meets Fiero's gaze, then glances down. Glinda approaches Elphaba and she retreats slightly. Elphaba steps back into the middle and Glinda stops. They gaze into one another's eyes and Glinda gulps softly as she glances at the crowd. Glinda looks to Elphaba again and takes in her hurt expression. Glinda copies the pose Elphaba previously performed. Glinda wiggles her fingers by her forehead and hip, then softly kicks out her feet, pointing her toes elegantly. Elphaba stares. Glinda stops and studies her unimpressed friends. She meets Elphaba's gaze. With a woeful frown, Glinda juts out her arms. She sways to the other side and does a spin. Then her friends hurry up to her and block her way. Glinda lowers her arms. She turns away from them and moves back to the middle. She faces Elphaba as her friends hurry back into the crowd. Elphaba's face softens and she studies a remorseful-looking Glinda. Glinda, with her long dark eyelashes and plump glossy pink lips, glances down. She meets Elphaba's gaze one more time and Elphaba places her hands by her waist. Copying her actions, Glinda steps forward and the two press the backs of their hands against one another's. Elphaba scoops one hand out to the side and guides Glinda's hand. They focus on one another as they move in sync. They ripple their hands, then press a hand to their forehead as they turn their heads. They lock eyes, then they softly kick out their feet before doing a swooping bow to one another. They fling out their arms, then extend one out to the side. They shuffle around in a quarter circle until their bodies are close to one another. They scoop up their free hand and look at it. An emotional Elphaba closes her eyes. Glinda cups Elphaba's face and wipes a tear from her cheek. Elphaba takes a deep breath as Fiero watches them closely with an empathetic look. Glinda and Elphaba release their arms and step out from one another. They move through a sequence of swift arm movements. Glinda and Elphaba both smile as they continue to dance in sync and move around each other. They place their clawed hands on their shoulders and shrug. The crowd starts to copy some of the moves. The two whirl their arms, and Bok smiles at Nessa Rose as they perform the moves. Elphaba clutches her hat, and Glinda flings her arms around her, hugging her tightly. Breaking apart from the hug, they turn to face the crowd. Glinda, smiling, takes Elphaba's hand as the crowd, arms outstretched and feet stamping in unison, surges towards them. They erupt into dance. Glinda and Elphaba run off together. Stars glint in the dark sky as they get back to their dorm room. Elphaba nods and Glinda eyes her. Elphaba snatches it from her. She puts the bottle back under her pillow. Glinda throws herself onto her bed. Elphaba remains motionless, her gaze darting woefully.
She looks down and refocuses on Glinda, kneeling on the floor with her top half flopped on the bed.
She moves closer to Glinda, who steals a glance at her before burying her face in the bed. Elphaba offers a smile. Glinda frowns softly as she watches Elphaba sit on the floor. There are numerous pieces of luggage behind her. Her lips part as she meets Glinda's gaze. Glinda crawls over and sits opposite her. They hold their gaze. Then Elphaba looks down. Elphaba tilts her head as she frowns. She looks to Glinda. Elphaba smiles, and sunlight creeps in through their window. Elphaba eyes Glinda, and they share a smile. Glinda springs to her feet. They fall on the bed. She flicks up her foot. Glinda sits up. Glinda removes Elphaba's glasses, which have a curving frame on the bottom right lens that sweeps up over the left. Glinda gets up. Glinda hurries over to a pink case points her foot and gives the case a smack. The sides fall open and a makeup and perfume stand pops up. Various spectacles. Alphaba lies on a floor mattress and Glinda moves around her. She fails to catch her wand. Glinda dips back and shakes her curls. Alphaba's braids smack into her face. Glinda swings her wand. She smacks the wand in her hand. Now she twirls and points it. She holds the wand high as she closes her eyes and bends forward. She hunches lower and lower and drifts her wand down. Glinda stumbles. She chucks the wand. Alphaba sits in front of a mirror. Glinda plucks the pink rose from her hair, then slides it behind Alphaba's ear. Glinda smiles as her eyes drift towards the mirror. Alphaba follows her gaze and admires herself. Glinda squeezes her shoulder and nuzzles her cheek against Alphaba's head. They gaze into the mirror, and Glinda focuses on Alphaba. Alphaba's eyes tear and she gets up. Alphaba strides down the corridor. Glinda hurries out and watches her go. To her reflection, she eyes the corridor. Glinda swishes her flamboyant pink-netted robe as she sashays down the corridor. She kicks her leg up and slides gracefully across a bench before twirling. Glinda runs up a set of cases. Flowers climb up the walls of golden-domed buildings. A giant clock with swirling metalwork sits below. Students smile at Elphaba as she crosses a quaint bridge. She stops by ornate cream pillars that have blue swirl decorations. Elphaba flicks her hair about, unaware that Fieru stands behind her. Elphaba frowns, takes a breath, and tosses her hair again. Fieru smiles as he leans against a pillar. She faces him, and he steps closer. Elphaba regards him as he ambles past her. Glinda and Elphaba follow Fieru into Dilliman's class. Elphaba sits. A trio of guards march into the room, closely followed by Miss Coddle. She faces the weary students. They grab his horns. Dillamond gets dragged from the room. Elphaba holds his glasses. Some students sit down. Coddle steps closer. Elphaba's long lashes and flicked eyeliner frame her angry gaze as she glares at Coddle. She returns to her desk. Glinda puts a hand on Elphaba's back as she sits down with a frown. Coddle's wavy, grey-speckled hair is set in a hall-like updo. A man bursts through the doors, pushing a trolley covered with a red velvet cloth. The suited man has a slight frame, dark hair, a mutton chops beard, and thick, round glasses. Coddle scans the weary faces. He unveils a lion cub trapped in a golden cage. The cub gnaws the bars.
The man, Nicodic, smacks the cage with a ruler, and the cub cowers.
The cub retreats into a corner. Nicodic raises his brows. His smile falters. The vision of Dillamond in a cage. Elphaba slams down her bouquet, and the flowers peel away and spin into the air. The levitating flowers drift around the classroom, sprinkling sparkling pollen. Fieru gawps as the students start to fall asleep. The students flop onto their desks as the flowers twirl around the room. The guards and Nicodic succumb to the spell. Nicodic slides down the chalkboard and lands on his knees, leaving a white line on the board. Glinda falls asleep and flops into Fiero. Fiero lowers Glinda's head. Fiero gets up. He gets the cub.
They rush to the Shiz University entrance and find two bicycles leaning against a post.
She opens a bike's basket. With the cub in Elphaba's basket, the pair ride off down the winding, muddy path and into the forest. The little cub peeks his head out and ducks back in. Madame Morrible strides into Dillerman's classroom. She wears a shiny dark navy dress with golden embellishments scattered across the fabric. She stops and stares at the rows of sleeping students. No one moves, and Morrible's gaze fixates ahead with a cunning look. In her office, she pulls out paper stamped with the letter M. She opens a golden inkpot and dips in a quill's sharp tip. Morrible taps off excess ink and scribbles away, writing to the Wizard of Oz, in care of Emerald City. The word urgent is stamped on in red. Deep in the forest, Elphaba brings the lion cub to a small stream. Trees with looping branches fill the space behind her. Fiero watches. Fiero takes off his jacket. He holds out his hands. He lowers his arms. Fiero fidgets. Fiero stares at her, and her brow wrinkles as she holds his gaze. Fiero scoffs, but doesn't take his eyes off of her. He makes to leave. Elphaba grabs hold of his hand, and he stops. He looks at her, and she swiftly lets go of his hand. They both look away. Elphaba crouches down by the cub and strokes its fur. Fiero stands with his hands on his hips and watches her. In Dillerman's classroom, Glinda and the others wake up. Glinda smooths her hair from her face, then spies the empty desks on either side of her. Her gaze darts in thought. In the forest, Fiero crouches beside Elphaba as she pets the cub. Fiero's hair is short around the sides and longer on top. He has it swept back to one side. Fiero frowns as he gazes off, and Elphaba tilts her head as she focuses on the cub. Elphaba lifts her chin. Elphaba studies him, and he continues to stare ahead. She shifts. Fiero frowns deeply and remains still. Elphaba reaches out to him, and he flinches away slightly before pausing. Using her finger, Elphaba wipes a bloody scratch on his temple. Her hand lingers on his face as he meets her gaze. She keeps her hand on his face. Fiero pulls away from her. He scoops the cub in one hand and runs off through the thick foliage. Elphaba stands and frowns deeply as she watches him go. Moss and flowers cover large tree roots, and small round foliage conceals parts of the ground. Fieri returns to the school and Glinda runs over to him. She hugs him as Elphaba watches from afar. Glinda and Fiero walk off with Nessa Rose and Bok. Fiero looks over his shoulder before Glinda leads him away. Elphaba lets out a weary sigh and moves off. Elphaba and Glinda hurry through doors and reach a balcony overlooking the sunny entrance canal. A miniature hot air balloon drifts over. Holding hands, they hurry down. A crowd gathers by the dock. A toy walrus perches in the small air balloon. It bashes cymbals together. Beside it, two horns and two birds chime. The green and gold hot air balloon hovers in front of Elphaba. It releases a green envelope, addressed to her in ornate calligraphy, into her outstretched hand. Elphaba peels open the envelope and everyone watches expectantly as she unfolds an invitation. Glinda claps as Moribel hugs Elphaba. The mini balloon drifts away and Elphaba turns to hug Glinda. Moribel suddenly clutches Elphaba's arm. Glinda, who admires them, looks away. Students shield their heads. Moribel holds an umbrella over Elphaba. Shenshen holds a bag over Glinda's head. Moribel swishes her hand towards the sky. The clouds part and sunshine floods through. A towering clock with golden numbers adorns the roof of a train station's ticket office. Steam billows from a glossy green train as it curves through fields of golden wheat. Its thin, gold-grooved wheels hum as it glides into the platform. Students gawp, and Elphaba stands alone at the station's far end. The train has a rounded front which displays a collection of giant golden cogs. The panelling has indents shaped like leaves, and the conductor wears a green uniform. Bok looks unsettled. On the platform, Fiero faces Elphaba. He nods softly. They study one another longingly, and Glinda's gaze darts between them. She tilts her head. Students flock to her with giddy smiles. Her eyes flitter in thought. With outstretched arms, Glinda curtsies, and Bok claps enthusiastically, calling out and waving his handkerchief. Nessa Rose looks disheartened. Bok remains oblivious as Nessa Rose disappears. Glinda turns to face Fiero and Elphaba, who exchange a tender smile. Glinda approaches as Fiero offers Elphaba an orange flower, their fingertips brush. Glinda smiles at them and reaches for Fiero's hand. He smiles at her and darts off, leaving her extended hand behind. Elphaba moves through the crowd. Students cheer and hold posters. Glinda claps as Elphaba boards the carriage. She faces the crowd as she holds onto a golden handrail. Elphaba's gaze falls on Glinda and she brings a hand to her forehead and wiggles her fingers. Glinda returns the gesture and the train pulls away. Glinda jolts and pulls out a booklet as she runs after the train. Elphaba opens the Emerald City guidebook. Inside, a note from Glinda reads, "I hope you get what your heart desires, Glinda," Elphaba considers. Elphaba grabs her hand and pulls her on board, and they tumble down. Elphaba picks up her hat as they rise to their feet. They rush into the lead carriage, adorned with a golden swirling emblem that reads Oz. A lattice star windscreen sits beyond. The two peer out at the glistening Emerald City in the distance. An array of buildings encircles a giant palace. The train pulls into a tunnel-style station. Elphaba leads Glinda off the train, and they smile as the train guards salute. The guards take Elphaba's bag and Glinda's coat. As they walk away, Elphaba dons her hat. They rush to a staircase, catching a glimpse of the city. Ornate green and gold buildings with swirling metalwork line the cobbled streets. Brightly dressed locals bustle about, and spontaneous bursts of dance erupt among the crowds. confetti balloons pop. People dance in a salon and stylists flick hair
as hummingbirds dry Elphaba and Glinda's nails.
He swells a staff adorned with an emerald. Wearing fabulous gowns, two women, one blonde and one brunette, grace the stage. The women rise back up. A fountain unfolds. Water sprays and swirls into a projection of a man reading a book. The blonde woman cups Glinda's mouth. Guards with long green beards and stilts dance amongst the crowd. Other performers throw shiny confetti that rains down on people dancing in the fountain. They wear ballooning trousers and kick their legs. They smile and link arms. A man wearing a cushioned hat and thick, rigid shoulder pads snatches Elphaba's invitation. He shows the invitation to a guard on a balcony. The guard's curly moustache lifts as he smiles. Dazzling fireworks erupt from the city as Elphaba and Glinda enter the palace. The gates swiftly shut behind them as they stand between flower displays. A blue monkey, clad in leather armour and wielding a spear, stands guard atop the wide steps ahead. As they ascend, the monkey approaches. A golden gate looms behind him. The monkey bows gracefully. The monkey leads them through the gates and into a grand hall, where an army of monkey guards reside. Clutching their spears, the monkeys sit in uniformed rows and eye Glinda and Elphaba coolly. Elphaba glances back as the gate closes. Elphaba and Glinda hold hands as they walk through the middle of the long hall. Glinda looks aside and waves to a monkey. The monkey scowls. Elphaba and Glinda lock eyes. The monkey leader, Chistery, escorts them up steps flanked with flaming columns. They reach a set of double doors. The golden doors create a perfect circle and have symmetrical swirl pattern carvings. Glinda, who wears all pink, eyes Elphaba, who stares at the doors gravely. Elphaba smiles softly as she holds Glinda's gaze, and Glinda nods. Glinda links Elphaba's arm as they face the doors.
They still themselves and move towards them.
The doors glide open and the young women enter a large circular room. Ahead of them hangs a giant tassel curtain. The green tassels hang like limp vines, and an eerie mist seeps out from the darkness beyond. Linking arms tightly, Elphaba and Glinda bear nervous expressions as they move into the middle of the room. Glinda pats Elphaba's arm. Elphaba retreats in a panic. A giant head with glowing eyes looms. The giant head dips and stops moving. Oz approaches them. Elphaba's eyes narrow as Oz purses his lips. He plucks a coin from her ear.
He tap dances. Curtains part and reveal a model replica of the Emerald City in all of Oz.
A red path.
The model path changes to blue. A figurine of Elphaba in her pointy black hat. Elphaba admires her figurine. Glinda smiles softly as Elphaba cups the figurine. Elphaba eyes Oz and looks at the figurine. She shakes her head with a small smile. Elphaba's nails are black with green specks. She looks at Oz. Oz crouches opposite them. They smile. A starry evening backdrop is revealed. He moves Elphaba's figurine. It sits in a model hot air balloon. He parts the backdrop and steps through. Behind the sheer backdrop of the night sky, Oz and the balloon appear as shadows. The balloon drifts upwards, then Oz bops a full moon and it bounces about. He sidesteps and prances to the right as a spotlight follows him. Elphaba and Glinda watch contently as the model village glows with lights. Oz stops and flutters his arms. Madame Morrible. They hug. Morrible's smile fades on spotting a cheerful Glinda. Glinda gapes and averts her gaze. Chistery pulls a black blanket away from a lectern, revealing an ancient book. Elphaba frowns and Glinda gasps. Elphaba steps up to the lectern
her eyes set on the brown pentagonal grimoire. The book has an embossed paisley cover. A wide-eyed Glinda hangs back with Morrible. Glinda nears Elphaba. Oz and Morrible exchange a meaningful glance. Elphaba looks to Glinda, who nods encouragingly. Elphaba studies her mentors as they turn in unison. Morrible nods decisively, signalling her approval. Elphaba smiles at Glinda and approaches the grimoire. The cover opens with a flourish, revealing two hexagonal books hinged together in the middle. As Elphaba fixates on the grimoire, its pages flicker over rapidly. Morrible steps closer. The top book lands on an astrological star ring, and the bottom pages are covered with an ancient language. Pages flicker. Elphaba faces the grimoire as it settles on a spell, words on the bottom pages glowing gold. Morrible eyes the pages. Chistery grimaces and flinches as Elphaba reads. The text glows gold and parts of the pages start to tear away. A drawing of feathery wings peels up from the grimoire's top pages. Elphaba's eyes widen and she flexes her fingers. The set of paper wings flap, then start to tremble. The wings extend outwards sharply and Chistery falls over. Chistery hunches over and drops his spear. Chistery claws at his bulging shoulder blade. Suddenly, a wing sprouts from his back and rips through his armor. Chistery staggers aside and flails his arms in distress. Elphaba moves closer. Chistery bows his head as another wing rips out of his back. The first wing has grown larger and sports huge streamlined feathers. As Chistery flaps his new wings, a shadow is cast across an enormous portrait of Oz. Chistery writhes and starts to lift from the ground. As he flies higher up a tunnel of faint light, he looks at his wings, turning his head wildly. The others gawp, tilting their heads to watch him. Elphaba looks concerned. Chistery's wings curl in, then he swipes his arms as he plummets down. He smacks into the hard floor and Elphaba gasps. Chistery lifts his head weakly. Elphaba looks at Chistery. His wings quiver and he can barely lift them. Elphaba hurries out to the grand hall and the others follow. The monkey army writhe and claw at their new wings. Blue feathers erupt on their hands as they curl their fingers. Morrible grins and holds Oz's hand.
Elphaba goes back. They follow her. Oz's gaze darts and he meets Elphaba's gaze. She points. Realization washes over Elphaba's face as she focuses on the grimoire. The others follow her gaze. With determined strides, she approaches the book. Elphaba shoves the book into Oz's hands. Elphaba glares at Morrible, then fixates on Oz. Frowning, Glinda eyes a sheepish Oz, and Elphaba snatches back the grimoire. She nears the huge head. She holds up the grimoire. Glinda gazes at him. Elphaba runs off. Looking tense, Glinda hurries off. Oz ducks behind the tassel curtain. Meanwhile, Morrible goes out to the frantic bird monkey army. Morrible claps firmly and the flying monkeys look over. The monkeys screech and take flight, their wings beating powerfully. Morrible turns away, a sinister smirk playing on her lips. Elphaba scrambles into a long corridor, her gaze fixed on the towering glass ceiling above. The flying monkeys swarm through the sky. Elphaba stumbles backwards down the corridor, her eyes fixed overhead. Reaching a window, she glances out as the monkeys fall from the sky. Elphaba rushes to the next window, watching them fall. A monkey crashes into the glass and Elphaba stumbles back. Another monkey slams into the window behind her. She runs down the corridor as monkeys swarm from all angles. They smash their hands through the glass as Glinda arrives. Glinda narrowly dodges the monkeys at the windows, and one snags her jacket. She quickly slips out of it and continues chasing after Elphaba. Oz sprints up the double-sided staircase, reaching the balcony control panel that operates the giant head. Lights flicker and gears grind as he pulls a lever, then speaks into a microphone. Glinda and Elphaba escape into a room and slide a door shut. Guards chase them. They climb up a ladder towards a deflated hot air balloon. The balloon's basket. A flame ignites and the balloon expands. Glinda hangs off of the basket. Elphaba pulls Glinda in as guards yank ropes below. One guard jumps towards the basket and misses. A guard grabs Glinda's ankle and pulls her down. Glinda smacks him with a sandbag and he falls out of the basket. A guard swings on a rope and clutches onto the basket. Elphaba punches him away. Together, Glinda and Elphaba yank a handle. A flame blasts up and the balloon inflates fully. It crashes through the wooden scaffolding as it rears up the tall tower. Below, guards turn a set of wheels and triangular panels on the roof start to fold in. Elphaba blasts the flame and Glinda watches as the roof closes in on them. The balloon gets stuck. A panel punches the balloon and air shoots out. The balloon deflates and catches fire as the basket swings into a platform. Chunks of fiery debris rain down. They step onto the platform as the balloon plummets. Guards flee and the balloon crashes into the floor. Glinda and Elphaba escape into an attic. Elphaba barricades the doors with a broom and furniture. Then she puts down her hat and bag.
Elphaba's brow furrows as she gazes off.
Her fingers twitch as her hand rests by her side. Glinda lowers her gaze with a woeful look, then she takes hold of Elphaba's hand. Elphaba looks at Glinda. She lets go of her hand. Glinda clutches Elphaba's arms. Elphaba smiles softly. They both look close to tears. Alphaba's gaze flickers upwards. Alphaba darts in from the balcony. Crouched by the grimoire, Alphaba's gaze darts aside. Glinda stands behind her. Alphaba slides her hand from the page. Alphaba raises her brows softly, then she slams the grimoire shut. On hearing a noise, Glinda looks aside. Below, the broom barricading the door floats up and falls on the floor. They peer down from the top landing and watch as the broom rolls across the floor. It spins, then continues to twirl softly as it drifts up towards them. A trail of dust plumes from its bristles. Glinda and Alphaba marvel at the broom as it floats towards them. The broom's long handle is made from smooth wood that is entwined with small twisting branches. The broom drifts towards Alphaba, and she reaches out her hand, clutching the handle firmly. Alphaba turns towards the circular balcony window as she studies the broom. Guards carry a gilded battering ram up to the door below. They pound the door and Glinda gasps. The guards ram into the doors repeatedly. Glinda stares woefully. They share a smile. Glinda's eyes soften and a hint of sadness crosses her face. Alphaba remains focused on her as a weariness floods her face. Glinda meets her gaze and offers a reassuring smile. Glinda dashes over to a corner where clothes and old furniture are kept. Elphaba looks tearful. Glinda pulls a thin black blanket away from a clothes rail and knocks away dust. She shakes out the cloak-like blanket, then smiles softly as she drapes it around Elphaba's shoulders. Glinda fights back tears as she ties the cloak into a neat knot. She meets Elphaba's gaze.
Elphaba winks
and offers a reassuring smile, her eyes glistening with tears. They share a tender smile, and Glinda takes a step back, admiring Elphaba's dark attire. Elphaba gathers her low ponytail and shakes it out, her eyes closed as she takes a deep, tearful breath. A tear rolls down her cheek and she lifts her gaze, focusing ahead. The sun sits on the horizon, washing her face in warm sunlight. Holding her broom and wearing her crooked black hat, Elphaba swishes her cloak as she turns around. She grips her broom with both hands, curling her fingers around its edges. Her gaze scans the broom and she ripples her fingers. Glinda moves closer. Guards burst through the doors below. Holding hands, the women rush out onto the balcony. Guards surround them. Elphaba swipes her broomstick. With a graceful leap, Elphaba soars across the room, landing on the next landing. She runs ahead, crashing through a window. As she falls, her broom tumbles away. Elphaba flails as her cloak whips about. She spots her reflection. Elphaba's reflection in the tower's mirrored windows is her younger self. As she continues falling, she locks eyes with her child self and becomes calm. Young Elphaba reaches out a comforting hand. Her cloak billowing behind her, Elphaba extends her hand, and as her fingertips inch towards the reflection, her broom falls into her hand. Elphaba looks down, then just moments away from the ground, she swoops back up on her broom. Elphaba rockets upwards and flying monkeys crash into the guards by Glinda. In his office, papers blow from Oz's desk. Now, Elphaba flies amidst clouds. At Shiz, Moribul motions for the guards to release Glinda.
Moribul embraces Glinda.
Fiery gallops off on Feldspar. Emerald City plunges into darkness. Alphaba rockets off, and Glinda looks over her shoulder as Moribul leads her away. Alphaba flies over a forest, then superspeeds into the horizon before zipping upwards. Large gold letters appear. To be continued.
Credits appear over light filtering into darkness.
Directed by John M. Chu. Screenplay by Winnie Holzman and Winnie Holzman and Dana Fox. Based on the musical stage play with music and lyrics by Stephen Schwartz and book by Winnie Holzman. From the novel by Gregory Maguire. Produced by Mark Platt, PGA. Produced by David Stone. Executive Producer, Stephen Schwartz. Executive Producers, David Nixey, Jared Leboff. Executive Producers, Winnie Holzman, Dana Fox. Director of Photography, Ellis Brooks, ASC. Production Designer, Nathan Crowley. Editor, Myron Kirstein, ACE. Costume Designer, Paul Tazewell. Choreographer, Christopher Scott. Visual Effects Supervisor, Pablo Hellman. Visual Effects Producer, Kevin Elam. Cynthia Arrivo, Ariana Grande Batera. Jonathan Bailey. Ethan Slater. Bowen Yang. Marissa Bode. Peter Dinklage is the voice of Dr. Dillamond, with Michelle Yeoh and Jeff Goldblum. Casting by Bernard Telsey, CSA, and Tiffany Little Canfield, CSA. Co-producer, Joan Schneider. Hair and makeup designer, Francis Hannon. Music and lyrics by Stephen Schwartz. Score by John Powell and Stephen Schwartz. Executive Music Producer, Stephen Arimus. Music Producer, Greg Wells. Music Supervisor, Maggie Rodford. Production Sound Mixer, Simon Hayes. Re-recording Mixers, Andy Nelson and John Markey. A Mark Platt Production. A John M. Chu Film. Wicked Part 1, Copyright 2024, Universal Studios, all rights reserved. Unit Production Manager, David Nixey and Joan Schneider. First Assistant Director, Jack Ravenscroft. Visual Effects Supervisor, Jonathan Faulkner.
Supervising Sound Editors and Sound Designers,
John Markey and Nancy Nugent-Title. Supervising Music Editors, Jack Dolman and Catherine Wilson. Supervising Vocal Editor and Mixer, Robin Bainton. Cast, Alphaba, Cynthia Erivo. Glinda, Ariana Grande Batera. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, Jeff Goldblum. Madame Moribul, Michelle Yeoh. Fiero, Jonathan Bailey. Bok, Ethan Slater. Nessa Rose, Marissa Bode. Dr. Dillamond, Peter Dinklage. Governor Thropp, Andy Nyman. Mrs. Thropp, Courtney Mae Briggs. Fanny Bowen Yang, Shen Shen Bronwyn James. Averick, Aaron Teo. Shiz President, Sean Pendergast, Miss Cobble, Keela Settle, Dulcie Bear, Sharon D. Clark, Wolf Doctor, Jenna Boyd, Professor Nickadick, Colin Michael Carmichael, Munchkin Kids, Lexi Lancaster, Arlo Turner, Joey Unit, B. Ward, Derek Oladeli, and Sienna Rose Amir. Munchkinland Crier, Tariq Frimpong. No One Mourns Munchkin, James Dryden. No One Cries Munchkin, Melinda Paris. The Good Man Munchkin, Noah Prempeh. Winky Mothers, Vicky Noon, Debbie Corrup, and Jasmine McIver. Curious Munchkin, Hattie Ryan. Skeptical Munchkin, Kirsty Ann Shaw. Young Elphaba, Karis Mosongeli. Young Nessa Rose, Cecily Collette Taylor. Munchkin Billies, Jarlin Bogolubov, and Isaac Bishop. Galinda's Popsicle, Adam James. Galinda's Mumsy, Alice Fern. Emerald City Train Conductor, Clive Neller. Wizomania Narrator, Michael McCrory Rose. Wizomania Superstars, Adina Menzel and Kristin Chenoweth. Palace Guard, Robin Berry. Shiz Security, Bobby Windbank. Shiz Librarian, Charida Strallen. Snow Leopard, Tom Kiteley. Piebald Deer, Elizabeth DeLau. Tamarin and Owl, Kim Durham. Birds, Jennifer Woodward. Fiero's Horse, Stephen Stanton. Credits continue.
American Humane monitored the animal action.
No animals were harmed. Open bracket AH12603. Close bracket. Number 55155. Motion Pictures Association. This picture made under the jurisdiction of IATSE, affiliated with AFL-CIO-CLC. Copyright 2024 Universal Studios, all rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo, copyright 2013 Universal Studios. Universal Studios is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by Pixelogic Media, voiced by Amy Cullen.